quorum, please?
Sarah Humble.
Here.
Cheryl Vile.
Here.
Megan Lutzer.
Here.
Mara Lutemski.
She's excused. All right, can we rise for the Pledge of Allegiance? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Okay. I have a motion to approve today's agenda. Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. Here we go. I'll make the motion to for the addendum to the agenda, adding 13.9 under new business.
Second.
Fiscal year 15 budget revision. Sorry. Go ahead.
I'll second.
Okay. Motion's been made and seconded to amend today's agenda August 11th, 2015. All those in favor? I don't need to do a roll call. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Motion passes 4-0. Now I can have a motion to approve the agenda, right? Is that what I do, Sherry? Brain's a little slow tonight.
Well, actually, what you did is you approved the agenda and you...
And I amended all it together?
Yeah.
Great. Okay. Since we don't have any students in school, we're going to skip over student representative report. We'll go on to correspondence. Has there been any correspondence that we need to...
No.
No? Okay. Comments from the audience unrelated to agenda items? Comments from audience related to the agenda items? No? Okay, we'll move on. Comments from board members? Hearing crickets. We'll move on to consent agenda. I'll make a motion to approve the consent agenda.
I'll second.
Motion's been made and seconded. All those in favor? Or no? Yes? God, I can't remember. This is terrible. Sorry,
this
people.
This one needs a roll call.
That's fine. Okay. Roll. Please call the roll.
Jenny Lister.
Yes.
Sarah
Holmgren.
Yes.
Cheryl
Pyle.
Yes.
Megan Lister.
Yes.
A little out of practice.
Yeah, sorry. Motion passes 4-0. Apologize for those that are listening. Okay, administrative reports. Superintendent. Peter.
So, it has been very busy this summer, busier than I really ever thought it would be, and I've always kind of wondered what really happened in the district office in the summer, and there's a lot going on in the schools, so very, very busy. And I'm going to let Dan and Karen do their reports because they have lots to tell you. They are two of the busiest people, I think, around in the district in the summer. Things are starting to ramp up since Mr. Dormer and Mrs. Toland aren't here tonight, just to say that high school activities are already well underway. High school cross country is literally off and running and has been for, a couple weeks now, a week and a half. Swim has started. High school swim dive, and volleyball's kicking off. So we're already in it. We're moving in. I attended some meetings in July in Juneau, superintendent meetings there, and I have another one in September follow-up. Again, there was a lot going on there, a lot of updates about... I don't want to spend tons of time on it because I think that it's going to be more information that's going to come to you in AASB workshops as well, but I do want to start the conversations because they started them with us this summer, that they really are trying to, the governor actually is really trying to do a lot of work publicly with Alaskans, period, about this whole budget situation in the state, and just really trying to get out and have conversations with real people, you know, whoever, people, not just school people, but just people, and just wanting to hear people's concerns, and also wanting to just talk about some difficult, potentially difficult decisions that are going to have to be made as we move along. I did want to show a few things here, and actually I'll get some of these websites and links and things to, I can get them to the paper and I can get them to Angela too so they can be posted. People may want to take a look at these. This is for everybody, and it's from, you know, from the governor's office, so I'm not going to spend a ton of time on it. I do want to show you a couple of things on here. I think you can get by. way more than you probably really want to see and know, but in a nutshell, what he's calling this is it's this building a sustainable future, conversations with Alaskans. That's what he's calling this. And he is trying to go around and has been going to different communities and cities across the state and just trying to work with all types of different organizations to try to talk about some of the difficult things that we're going to be facing in our state and that it's not going away. And So what he has here is they've put together kind of a revenue and expenditure model, which is something that it's... you don't need to look at it right now, and we can look at it another time, but it's kind of a place where you can actually go into it and you can look at some of the different options of things for ways to, you know, if you start adding sales taxes or income taxes or doing different things with the permanent fund, it actually shifts and adjusts within the spreadsheet. So, you know, if you go into it and make like, well, this is what, you know, what would happen if we, you know, cap the permanent fund forever, you know, these kinds of things, it will actually show you what it actually would do to it. It shows the impact of those things on there, so it's kind of an interesting exercise. Lots and lots of information on here, more than you probably ever want to know about oil and pipelines and all kinds of things. I've learned a lot in the last 6 or 7 months about all that. Many, many, many presentations and lots of information. The main thing that I wanted to just quickly show is, I mean, this whole idea of talking about the fact that, you know, this is us. Karen loves this. She thinks it's just, it is fascinating because it is our life and our livelihood, but it's a lot to think about. So, so just a few thoughts to put out. I liked the way these were put out. They talked about some things that we are very fortunate in our state, different from other places, because we did have forward-thinking legislators who did look at ways to, you know, invest this permanent fund, and their states don't have that. And so, you know, we can be frustrated about certain things, but that is something that we do have that no one else has. They're talking a lot about the different types of taxes and the kind of the pros and cons that can go along with that. These I thought were interesting. Just talking about, for example, pros for a state income tax. You know, bringing in the new money into the state extent, that's something I've heard people talk in favor of, that non-resident workers coming in, you know, help to, they don't just come in and work and leave. But then the con is that potentially reduces household disposable income and spending. It can bring new money in, but already many local governments, for example, here, you know, we have a state, I have a sales tax. Obviously, a lot of revenue potential with the permanent fund. Lots of different ideas of thinking about endowments and ways to do that. Obviously, reduces the growth in the future. And then, for example, if we didn't have that, like I say, for now, in this situation, it would make it even more significant. Again, this idea of talking about oil tax increases, that sounds great, you know, initially. Sometimes then it causes people to not come into the state. So, you know, you have to weigh. Yeah, anyway, that's the idea behind looking at that on that first page. If you wanted to go in and sort of, if you're interested in looking at things like that, it comes up and that's what you can do. You can actually plug things in like that and it will readjust and show you what can happen. It's a little bit scary. Basically, this is what the message is. There are no easy answers to balancing a $3 billion annual deficit. Take a combination of four things is basically what they've come to the decision. We are going to have to continue to look at restraining budgets, taxes impacting individual Alaskans, changes to oil and gas taxes, and strategic use of basically permanent fund. So, that's my nutshell. There's way more information on there than you would ever really want to look at. The one thing that they did talk a lot about, and I actually did appreciate it up there because it's kind of doom and gloom, and I can say that's one thing about doing this job that I have not liked because I feel like that's all I've talked about
for 6 months since I walked into this thing, and so, or whatever, however long it's been now, is money. And it's a little frustrating because you feel like you just, you know, you want to talk about other things sometimes, and but it does come back to that in the end. But it's also, I think, an opportunity for all of us to, you know, be creative too.
We're just going to have to be more creative. We're going to have to be more efficient. We're fortunate because we are not in dire straits in our district, and that's due to a lot of different reasons that we've talked about all spring. But you know, we're not facing, you know, huge layoffs and, you know, cutting art and doing all those kinds of things right now. So we are in a pretty good position, and yeah, I think it's a chance for us to be really creative and forward thinking, and yeah. Anyway, so that is Sustainable Futures. Lots of information. I can send that link to you.
Putting a link on the school's website.
Yeah, I will put it on the front page, and then I'll get it to everybody else too. So if people want to, because anybody can, it's just information. It's just out there on the governor's site. So it's interesting because it impacts everybody, and this is not just about education. It's health and human services and everything. Yeah. So there was lots of conversation about that this summer. There was also quite a bit of conversation about, I mean, this is the kind of light reading that you get at these conferences. It's super exciting. Review of Alaska's school funding program for your reading pleasure. I know you do. Here it is. I'm saving it for you. Okay, the highlights of that, this is the HB 278 where they did the study on trying to determine if the funding formula was reasonable and you know, whether it should be re-looked at and all of that. So they did a huge study on that. They talked to business managers and you know, leaders in districts and community people. And basically what they came to the finding that they feel like it's a pretty well thought out funding formula, actually, all in all. There's things that they're still not happy with, but there's still some concern about whether there's enough funding that goes towards special needs students. There's some concern about kids moving in and out of districts and ways of trying to track the money. You know, it doesn't really follow them, you know, anyway. So there's issues with it, but overall they do feel like it actually, you know, it's a complicated thing to do. You're dealing with districts with 20 kids, you know, in the middle of an ice field and dealing with schools in Petersburg and schools in Anchorage and trying to figure out how to make it equitable. So that's what this report says. There it is for your light evening reading. I have not read the whole thing. I don't know if I'll get to it. And then we talked about Alaska Measure of Progress, the AMP assessment, that the students all took the first computerized version of that this spring, which actually went very well. We had a lot of work put in ahead of time by Bridget Whitstock and John Painter and Rachel Etcher and teachers, and everybody just did a ton of work getting this thing off the ground, and they did a great job. The big discussion this summer with superintendents was, because it's new and because they actually still are doing the cut scores for it. In fact, Tommy Thompson went up and helped with the math portion of the cut scores. They had 100 educators from across the state working to do that. And so it won't be done. You know, we don't have the results still. Usually we have them by the end of May, beginning of June. We knew they'd be later this year because it's the first year, but it won't be till October that we have the results because of the cut score work in the first year. So there's concern about that, obviously, because it's such a long time in between, and then you get the results, and what can you really use the results? It's already October, and, you know, trying to get the word out to parents and families about it, and so there was a lot of discussion about that, because, and the scores are likely not going to be, you know, it's a brand new test, and it's more rigorous. So we've talked about it before, but it's always that initial response as a parent, if your child maybe doesn't do as well as you thought they might, you know, have done, and kind of that panic, even though you may have heard it 10 times from people that don't panic, it doesn't matter, and because once you see them, then it's sometimes you worry. So a lot of discussion about how to get information to parents, how to message and help people with it so that it's not, you know, scary, I guess, to people. So I guess we're doing that work in September at the next meeting, which is in King Salmon. I get to go to King Salmon. I know. Also talked a lot about teacher evaluation, which I will show you. Oh, there it is. It's already up on the screen. Okay. But I'll talk about that later. So, it was busy.
Sounds like it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
All right, maintenance director.
Well, good evening and welcome back. We're looking forward to the new school year. I hope you are too. First, I'd like to thank you for the kind words you said about me at Campus Connection today. That was very well appreciated. I work with such a dynamic admin team and superintendent, and it just helps make the job go so much easier. And also, I have a good crew, and quite honestly, they just make me look good. So I just wanted to get that out there. If we could right now, I'd take you on a field trip. I'd love to show you all the stuff that we've done in the school. I'm really proud. Last spring, I told you that I would like to start a new philosophy or a new way of doing our summer cleaning, and that was basically get away from individualistic people handling their own rooms to more of a team effort, and I got to tell you, it's been a great success. It's been super efficient. People have been able to trade off on jobs, so there's not a whole lot of burnout. People enjoy coming in. August isn't a grind anymore, you know. It worked extremely well, like I said. It allowed for a lot of extra time to be put into the nooks and crannies that sometimes I think our staff might have just kind of overlooked because they were in a blinders on, we got to get this done. And I asked them to put a little extra time into the carpets, and sometimes we did two or three passes, which is almost unheard of because we had the time to do it because everybody was working as a team towards a collective effort, a collective goal, excuse me. And I can't say enough about it. And in fact, I'll point out what Brian Anderson, he's a 20-year veteran of our custodial program, and he pulled me aside just last week, and he said he was just so thankful for the summer. It was one of the best ones he ever had. He said, I'm going to reiterate some of the stuff I just said, that for the most part, he felt like it wasn't a drudgery. He came in and he did different things each day. He worked with people that he doesn't normally work with, and he really enjoyed it. And he didn't feel like he was sprinting towards September 2nd, like we often do. And he said, we're on a steady pace, and we're going to keep that pace up to the end, but it's not a back-breaking pace, and we're getting a lot accomplished.
Good.
So it was really good. And then I can't say enough about Rans McIntosh. He has kept up with our summer maintenance. He's anytime that I thought, you know, maybe I should look over his shoulder and make sure he's not going on the right direction, every turn he was. Anything that I thought I would be doing if I was in his place, he was doing it. And having someone like that on staff that you don't have to worry about, that you know is doing exactly what you would be doing and in the order that you'd be doing it, it's almost uncanny. And I'm very pleased to have him on staff, and can't say enough good things about the work that he does for us. We stayed on schedule, as I've been hinting at, if not slightly ahead of schedule all summer. We put 5 weeks into the high school, four into the elementary. I planned for August to be for common areas, libraries, hallways, and that's exactly where my people are today. And it's nice when things go off without a hitch. In fact, right now I'd say we're on our punch list. Often we don't get to our punch list until probably about the time the staff comes back. And here we are 2 weeks ahead, and we're knocking those items out. I am expecting a little bit of a rush of maintenance requests as soon as the staff comes back. We do have new people coming in. We also had a lot of room swapping going on at the elementary school. We accomplished a lot of that stuff in June, but invariably there's going to be things that we weren't expecting. And I think we'll be in a good place to handle them. So it's all looking pretty good. If you get a chance, stop in and peek into the faculty lounges. I'm not going to say what we did in there because I know some of our staff and faculty are listening tonight, but myself and my crew, we like to do something special for our teachers and our aides, and a lot of that stuff is in those rooms this year, and hopefully when they come back, I think that they're going to appreciate what we were able to do for them. At the end of the school year in the spring, I talked about how we'd be doing a lot of major projects. In fact, I thought it might be a little bit more difficult doing a bunch of little projects versus the large remodel we did last year. didn't turn out to be too bad. I'm going to run down the list of things that were accomplished, mostly for the folks on the radio. Over at Stedman Elementary, a fence was placed along the southwest and west edge of the property. Midcoff Middle School got a new concrete entrance. The steps from the sideway up to the top platforms were all repoured and look wonderful. In the high school gym in June, LED lights went in, and actually that created a little bit of extra work for us. Now that that light in there is so bright white, you can actually see the dirt and dingy stuff that's up 30 feet in the air. So I spent a better part of a week in a man lift with my mop reaching out, getting all those things, and moving a few inches down and getting a little bit more. But had to be done anyways, and it looks really nice in there now. And on top of that, we had our 10-year maintenance on the gym floor. And the same fella who put the floor in 10 years ago was the person who came back and did the resurface. And it was a complete stripping of the floor down to bare wood, repainting of the lines, and then refinishing the top coat. And I asked him how we kept it up over the years. He said we did a respectable job. And we had that incident of a little bit of water damage during a prom a few years back, but it was all actually fairly well corrected in this sanding, and it looks really nice now. And he said that's just what you have to expect with these floors. We'll be looking at this again in 2025, I guess. So I have a feeling I might still be here. Right now, the hallways in the elementary school are finishing up with the carpeting that's been put in there, and the elementary cafeteria got a new laminate floor, and I'm pretty excited about that laminate floor. We were told that Safeway food stores utilize that same floor in their produce section. And if you've been in those stores, they basically just pallet truck in their pallets of produce and plop them right on the floor and move away. And I can't ever say that I've ever thought their floor looked shabby. And now we supposedly have the same floor. And I think all of our little smiling faces and all their stomping little feet aren't going to pose it any problem at all. And I'm really excited to have them come back and take a look at that. It really transformed the room. Stedman remodel, still kind of creeping up towards the final stages of that. We had a loading dock put on the end of the cafeteria. It's covered, and it also has an ADA ramp built into it. We get to look forward to an ADA ramp in front of the primary entrance, under the covered entrance, that is. That'll be happening sometime in the fall. And we'll also have some automatic door openers put in that are ADA compliant. And when we get those done, we're done. Are we all in agreement?
We're in agreement.
Are done.
We're done. But we are thankful that, you know, that state has helped us along with that, and we got all those things done. And the and PIA, of course, has replaced all the sidewalks around the elementary school, too, and those are ADA compliant and look wonderful as well. I spent the better part of a few weeks working on the Fiscal 17 Capital Improvement Plan. This is the 16 plan from last year. This year's is going to be about twice as thick. And I do a lot of the supplemental data and work that goes along with it, and then we have Don Hiley of CERC, the Southeast Regional Resource Center, advise us, and he writes the actual applications. And I'll get into this a little bit later, of course. It's in the agenda. But I'm happy that that's done. I just finished that last week. What you get to look forward from the maintenance department and myself in the upcoming months, I've been reviewing the custodial program, and I want to institute a more comprehensive program which features a defined cleaning philosophy with revised cleaning standards and more task frequencies that would be standardized district-wide. I have Cindy Fry to thank for pointing me in the right direction and where to obtain the information to go about doing this. I'm not going to explain the whole process to you tonight, but I will tell you that Superintendent KP and I have discussed the merits of the plan, and I have brought the draft to my staff to comment on what I'd like to do. And before I fully report on to the board, I'm going to also sit down with our admin team, and we're going to fine-tune it to make sure that our principals and our department heads think that it's a good plan as well. But what it really comes down to is we're going to look for a better product for our students, staff, and community, and then something that's a little bit more efficient for a more efficient process for our staff to accomplish that with. Lofty goals, but I'm drawing from other educational institutions, and I think we're not going to reinvent the wheel on this one. We're going to find a good plan, and we're going to do our best to make it work for us. Is there any questions?
Thank you. That was very thorough.
You're welcome.
Thanks.
Thank you.
to do. I did want to update the board and the public on where we stand with our fiscal 16 budget. When we were here in June and you guys approved our fiscal 16 operating budget, the legislation had not finished their budget in the state, hadn't adopted it. Well, they have now, and I just want to give you an update of where we stand with what they did. So they did not fund House Bill 278, which is the three-year phasing of funds for capital. Is that correct? Mm-hmm. Was there capital funds? Mm-hmm. And so they phased, they just didn't fund that at all. So in fiscal 15, we received $195,000, and we were expected to receive, if they had funded it, $149,000. They did not fund that, but we anticipated that, and we did not build that into our budget. So we're good on that one. And then the other concern that we had is what the state was going to do with the foundation funding, if they were going to change the formula. And we knew they weren't going to go up with it, but if they were going to reduce the base student allocation, what impact that would have on the school district. Well, I'm happy to say that they did not decrease it. They kept the increase that was built into the funding into House Bill 278. So there's a $50 per student increase to the BSA. So this year we'll receive $5,880 per adjusted student allocation. And I say that because it's not based on the actual number of students. It runs through the whole formula, and it gets adjusted. We did base our fiscal 16 budget on that, so we came in right in where we were lucky. We came in right where we thought we would. Mm-hmm. So that's the update on our fiscal 16 budget. Any questions on that before I move on to the next fun topic, which is the audit? So last week we had our annual financial audit, and it went smoothly. It's always a learning experience for me. I did share with each of you an audit planning document that kind of outlines the scope of the work that the auditors come here to do and what they're actually testing. For example, they're making sure that we have dual signatures on each check, and not only do they see the check that has been, they see the copy of the check stub, but they also pull the bank statements and make sure that we really did have two signatures on that. And they pull that on about 50 or 60 documents. And if we have one that's not right, then they double or triple the amounts. We didn't have to pull anything extra this year, thankfully. One thing that did come up, which I will talk about a little bit later on, is the state's on behalf amounts. They came in much higher than what I had budgeted for in the spring. And really the oversight is partially mine because I get these letters from the Department of Retirement. And I saw that number, but I didn't make any connections. But there was nothing from the Department of Education on this increase in the on-behalfs. And we are not the only school district that did not budget correctly on this. So that's what the addendum is to correct both the revenue, the PERS and TERS on behalf on the revenue side and on the expenditure side to make sure that our it's really for our financial statements so that our budgets to actuals are closer. There's not as big of a variance. But we'll talk about that a little bit more. The other thing about our audit is that this year there is a new standard from the Governmental Accounting Standards Board called GASB 68, and it's going to be reflected in our financial statements for fiscal 15. When I talked with the senior management at BDO, they were not sure when they're going to have our financials done, because what GASB 68 is, we are required to report the pension liability of both the employer and the state on our financials. So it will end up being a fairly large liability because there's the state unfunded portion that they're trying to catch up with, and we're going to be required to report that on our financials. The number will come from the state, and when I talk to the senior management, we're all going to be in the same situation because they're going to get all those numbers at once. They're going to have to print all the financial statements and push them out to the school districts for review. The state requires our financials be submitted by November 15th, And at this point, we're not sure if we'll make that timeline. Of course, if we don't make it, then most other school districts are not going to. So I'll keep you updated on that with, you know, a September board meeting, October board meeting. So that's kind of the overview on the audit. And I'm always happy when that's over. I do like the audit. I think it's kind of fun. But it's stressful because I'm a perfectionist, so. And then the last thing that I wanted to talk about and just kind of update the board and the public on is Obamacare, because, you know, it's right around the corner. And as a large employer, we're going to have reporting requirements for our employees and to the IRS. So there's going to be some forms that have to be filed, and there are a 1094 and a 1095. And I'm not going to pretend that I'm an expert on this, but I have seen the forms. I've sat through a number of classes on the forms and filling them out. And as I become more of an expert on it, I will share that knowledge with you. And that's really all I have to report. Any questions? Yes.
Long hours that go into that audit. It's a lot of work. A lot of work on the front end and a lot of work when they're there and a lot of long hours. So thank you.
Thank you, Karen.
Thank you, Karen.
Yep. Did you have a question?
On the what the legislature's finally approved, they did not fund the capital improvements. They maintain the foundation formula. What about the one-time funding?
No.
No. That was, but we didn't even,
We took it out,
yeah.
Okay.
We were 99.9% sure that
okay.
they were not going to
yeah.
fund that, and they were not going to fund House Bill 278.
Okay, that, I was pretty certain of that, and we talked about it earlier, but I wanted to just make sure it was,
yeah.
that I'm writing my notes down correctly.
You are writing your notes down
okay.
correctly.
Thank you. All right, thank you. Upcoming dates and media announcements, it looks like, oh my goodness, registration's around the corner, August 19th and 20th, beginning at 10 a.m. till 2 p.m. at the elementary school, so you've got students coming in, K through 5th grade, try and stop by the 19th or 20th. Then the 24th, we have Tech Boot Camp, and that's for new staff or even existing staff that want.
Anybody that wants to go, and board members have gone before. It's in our classified staff.
Mm-hmm.
We've had other people from the community request to go learn about Google and all that good stuff, which is
okay.
actually fine too, if people,
okay.
if we have room. It's fine. It is Monday, the 24th, and it basically goes all day. And there's kind of little chunks, and John will send out a schedule about that with topics. And he tries to have it be driven a little bit by what people need too, but it is really meant for some of our newer
mm-hmm.
staff or people who just want to brush up on
mm-hmm.
some different things.
Okay. So the teachers start back on the 25th. Well, we know they start back before that, but they show up in the building on the 25th. Then also that same day, we have the last day for borough candidacy filing, Cheryl, Jay, and Mara. See how you guys are feeling. Hopefully.
We hope you're feeling good.
I'm happy to sign any form if you happen to.
I'm happy to sign forms, too.
I'll even take it around.
Oh, only Mara does?
Oh, okay.
Oh,
only Mara.
Oh, I was thinking for some reason you had to. Nice.
Great.
Okay. Then we have staff development, the 26th through the 28th. And usually at the end of that week, we've done the back-to-school lunch for staff, if that Friday works for people. Or is that Friday? Let's see.
Mm-hmm. The 28th.
Okay.
That's
is that looking good for people?
Done it.
Classified are going to be there that day, too.
That would be a good day then, since they would be there. Does that work for most everybody?
You said Friday the 28th.
Yeah.
And we...
We can talk about
mm-hmm.
the
tasks.
Yeah,
yeah.
A menu if we want to keep it the same thing. But if that works right around noon, and then all this, and we usually do it in the common area of the high school. Since we utilize the home ec room for cooking, so if that works for everybody, let's do it the 28th. And Erica, you'll just let staff know.
Yeah.
Great. Looks like the 31st is the first day of school for students, and then also we'll set a board agenda on the 31st. It's a Monday.
I'll do it.
I can do it. It's only, oh, you only need two.
Yeah.
Oh.
Okay. You want to do it? Okay.
I'll do it.
That's fine. That's a Monday. Do we want to do it?
Sure.
Or no? Yeah. You'd rather do it in the morning right after school starts?
What's better for you guys?
That was better
for
me.
If you're coming in with your kids or doing that.
Yeah.
That's good.
Okay.
8:30?
I just forgot your name.
8:30?
Sure.
Yes.
8:30.
Jennifer said she could do it if you wanted to do it this time.
Oh, campus connection?
Oh, we got campus.
Oh, because do you do it? Do you have to do it with her?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So you only need one person.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Otherwise, then we'll hit the quorum.
Oh, yeah, I'll do the next one.
Okay. All right, so Cheryl and I will do it on the 31st at 8:30?
Sure.
Okay. Then September 3rd, they have the introduction to My Child, so elementary school will be out early that day. And then on the 4th, no school for just the elementary school. Labor Day is the 7th. And we have Campus Connection on the 8th.
I can do that.
Okay. I can probably do that one, too. But again, unless Cheryl's dying to do that, too.
That's me.
So now Jay's working.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then our board meeting is the 8th, which should be here. And then Policy Committee meeting. That was something we're going to start up again. Yeah. I think just to
so we'll
keep going, plugging away.
Mm-hmm.
Do we want to even do it this month instead of waiting until September?
I guess it depends.
Is that easier for you to do one more meeting, Policy Committee meeting, in August versus September?
No, but I will be happy to be there whenever. Whenever works, honestly, because it's your schedule. It will be much harder than ours, I believe, don't you think, Sarah?
Yeah, it can be.
August will be pretty
busy. Okay, so should we wait till September?
So maybe September?
Maybe the third week of September or the second week? Third?
Yeah, maybe.
School will be well underway and maybe the kinks.
Or even sometime that same week of the board meeting, later that week or the beginning of the next week. I don't know what that is.
Okay. Of course, if we get through some of them, we could probably even get first reading on the next board meeting.
Since we're both going to do Campus Connection, can we do it that day and just we can block
sure.
some time out?
Would that work for you?
On the 8th, since Sarah and I are both scheduled to do campus.
We won't be able to go on the agenda, though.
Oh, because that's the day of the meeting. Oh, that's true. If we want to do it, but then we're back to the
September 1st.
First week of
school.
I can put them on October. There's nothing that's... Hey, they've gone this long. Some of those policies. It's
who's coming for agenda setting?
Cheryl. But I could do that instead.
Oh, we could do the 31st. That's fine.
Maybe we could do some after that. Maybe we could swap. Maybe Cheryl and Megan could swap on
sure.
agenda setting. I don't know. I don't want to put words in your mouth.
Oh, okay.
Do you know what I mean? We
yeah.
could do the agenda setting and then work,
yeah. do work on it for an hour or so.
For an hour or something
yeah,
after
right.
that.
Does I
that
think
work?
We did that before. Or we were there for some other reason. That worked out nicely.
Okay, I'm still putting myself back on. For you on the 31st then?
Yeah, my only thought was just not wanting to rush out of sending my babies off.
Oh, no.
The big kids will probably
later.
Be like, okay, I don't need you. So.
Well, we could do it later. Do we want to do it?
8:30, I'm sure is fine.
Yeah,
it
works for you guys.
Yeah, I'm
okay.
sure 8:30 is fine.
Let's do 9.
9 might be good.
I can go get a coffee.
Yeah, okay.
9 would be great.
Perfect.
Okay,
I love
so
it.
9 on the 31st, and then we'll also do our policy meetings.
Okay,
okay,
so I'm taking myself off of Campus Connection. Is that okay, Cheryl?
Now you're,
would you be willing to do Campus Connection on the 8th?
I don't know.
Oh, you may have to work.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well. Just let
we'll
me know.
We'll put a shout out as we get closer to see
yeah.
if anybody's got. Maybe Mara can do it, too.
Oh, yeah. That's good. Good idea.
Okay.
Okay. So,
three.
I think we got that all squared away.
First
all right.
Sorry you're left out, Jay.
That's okay.
We'll have a cook.
He is bummed out, we can see.
Okay, moving on to old business. I think we're done. Are we, anything else I'm forgetting? Okay. Old business. Board policies at second reading. Looks like after public hearing is held on the policies, the board will consider these policies at second and final reading. These policies were recommended by the ASB because of legislative actions. I'll make a motion to approve the listed board policies. I got to read every single one of them?
No. We just need to recess for...
Oh, that's right. Sorry.
You're doing really
okay.
Well.
Okay. Okay, so now I got to... Okay, I'm going to recess to take public hearing on the board policies listed.
And they're all listed on the back with a copy.
So, anybody?
You can't.
Anybody? Viewer? All right. I'm going to... Sorry.
That was awesome.
Now we're going to come out of recess, right? Call the meeting back to order. And now I'll take a motion.
Okay, I can make a motion to approve the listed board policies at second reading.
Okay.
Second.
Okay, motions are made and seconded. Do we need to read them all or just roll call?
Well, you can actually just say the number and the name.
Okay. Motion's been made and seconded to approve the board policy BP0411, service animals, BP3542, roles and duties of employees, BP4131, staff development, BP4161.4, family and medical leave, BP5125.1, release of directory information, BP5131.43, harassment, intimidation, and bullying, BP5131.6, alcohol and other drugs, BP5138, student possession and use of personal electronic devices, including cellular phones, BP5141.52, suicide prevention, BP6145, extracurricular and co-curricular activities, BP6145.22, concussion in student athletes, BP6146.3, college and career readiness assessments, BP6161.4, internet, BP6162.5, standardized testing, BP6172, special education, BP6174, bilingual, bicultural education, limited English proficiency, and BP6174.1, education of Native and Indian children. Roll call?
Roll call.
Okay, could I have a roll call, please?
Cheryl Weil?
Yes.
Sarah Holmgren?
Yes.
Megan Lister?
Yes.
Jay Lister?
Yes.
Okay, motion passes 4-0. Moving on to new business. We have the capital improvement project, the CIP list, and I have a motion to... I'll make the motion to approve Petersburg's fiscal year 2017 capital improvement project CIP list. Have a second?
I'll second.
Motion's been made and seconded, and we'll have a discussion now. Dan Tate, would you like to fill us in a little?
Our six-year capital improvement plan generally gets recycled from year to year. You know, oftentimes we don't get funded, so we just move the list up one more year, and then they're in the same order. This year, since we did a bunch of little small projects that I stated in my report, we're going to try to get reimbursement on a couple of those. So that kind of drove this year's list. There's also obviously politics involved, and Don Hiley at CIRC, as I mentioned earlier, helped us with the strategy of laying out this list. He has also at one time in his career read the applications and ranked them, so I think he has a little bit of a good insight of how we should play this game, for lack of a better term for it. Our first district priority is the Petersburg Middle School boiler replacement. This is not to be confused with what's been on our past list, which was known as the Petersburg Middle High School Boiler Rehabilitation. That was where we had our Cleaver Brooks boiler retubed in 2013 and was just approved in this last fiscal year budget for reimbursement. And we're actually working on the paperwork to have that completed. So coming back to what this is where we put in a boiler in March in the middle school. This is the Well McLean boiler replacement. The cost estimate is $75,592. We're asking the state to reimburse us for it. basically the fact that we've done the work, it's paid for. This is kind of the same thing as what went on with the boiler rehabilitation, bought and paid for. The state really looks at those highly and ranks them highly. We stand a very good chance of that being in the top 10 of the list. Then moving on to our second priority, we've talked about it many, many times, is the district food service renovations over at the elementary school. This is driven by code deficiencies in the building, and so there's a definite need for it. It has ranked well in the past. We're not really sure how it's going to rank now with our current state budgetary woes, but like I said, its primary purpose, which is that code letter D there, means code deficiencies, and that is going to be a driving point in the ranking of this particular application. Don did point out, though, that the top 10 statewide projects usually are only 1 or 2 points points apart, so even if it ranks really well, there could be several other great projects in the state that will just nudge it down a little bit, inch by inch. District priority number three is the Petersburg Middle High School underground storage tank, or underground fuel tank, over at the middle school. We talked about this in great detail last school year. Essentially, I would consider this to be the one Achilles heel in our whole physical plant. We have a single-walled fuel tank buried in the ground. It's been in operation since the mid-1980s. We have evidence that the corrosion protection system on it is in the stages of failing. Are we in danger of it pouring its contents out into the ground? I would say probably not at this point, but it's something that we're going to have to stay on top of. We might have to look for alternate funding, maybe potentially with the borough, somehow pay for it ourselves, and then try to get it reimbursed as our best avenue. So those are our top three. We hope they do really well because we can utilize each one of these specifically. Now getting into four and five, these are the projects we did this summer. Middle school entry renovation, the concrete work that I spoke about earlier. Don Hiley's opinion on that is it probably won't generate a whole lot of emotion with the application process. It's worth a try. We're going to put it in there. It's a code C, and most of ours are code C, and what that basically says is we're just trying to protect the existing structure or any of our school facilities, our fixed assets and things like that. I mean, it definitely has a strong need, and we've taken care of it. Now we hope the state will help reimburse that. Moving on to the next one is the high school gym and our mat room, which is listed here as auxiliary gym, the LED lighting upgrade. Now, that's a category E. That's helping us to achieve an operating cost savings, and those are often looked at very highly by the application process. So we ranked it just a little bit down over the concrete entry because we thought maybe the points for the energy savings, again, a political game, trying to figure out which way these raters of the applications will think. So we're playing a little game with four and five. We easily could have switched them. So moving on to 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10, this is where we're regurgitating old list items. These have been on here for quite a while. We would like to continue to upgrade our HVAC controls with digital DDC controls, which we thankfully got with the elementary remodel this last year. The only part that's left to do now is Petersburg High School from the, what we call the 75 building, which is the gym section of the building, the big brown building. This is the newer 1985 section, right in the middle of that and the old high school, which is our middle school. Did I completely confuse everybody with that explanation? I almost did myself. But the middle school and the high school, except for the gym section, don't have those HVAC controls. And again, that would be a cost savings and could rank well. But we're not asking the state to fund it for this fiscal year. We've moved that on, as you can see, for fiscal 18. Then moving on, we have probably, I wouldn't call it an Achilles heel, but after the elementary remodel, there are still some things about the elementary school that are 40-odd years old, and the plumbing system underneath the school will be one of those areas that we're going to have to look at somewhere down the line, probably in the next 10 to 15 years. This is the cast iron drain waste system, probably also the copper domestic water system as well. All those pipes at some point are going to have to come out. We've got that down for fiscal year 20. Oh, I'm sorry. I skipped right over the electrical upgrades to the middle school and high school for fiscal 19. That's number 7. Essentially, just as technology has grown in our school was designed in the 1980s. We weren't expecting any of the digital stuff that we have now, and we just don't have enough outlets is what it comes down to in a capacity. We make do. But we would certainly like to see that brought up to the standard of what we have in the elementary school now. And then, moving on to 9, repair of the auditorium failing floor system. This leaves a little bit of confusion. This has been on the list for many years. Essentially, we're talking about the green room, the dressing rooms area, not the stage area, per se. This is the backstage areas. We did see some settling 5 to 7 years ago, where it dropped somewhere about 3/8 to maybe even a half inch, just dropped a little bit, but it has been stable for the last 3 or 4 years. So we've left it on the list. It's something we could potentially do with the borough or under our own funding of some sort at some point and ask to have that reimbursed. But since it's stable, I think we'll just keep an eye on it, which we do pretty much every other month. We take a good look and see where we're at. And then finally, we have ADA renovations. We're doing some at the Stedman Elementary School, as I reported, but there's still plenty that needs to be done in our high school shop all the way through the high school and middle school. And we're going to probably see more and more regulation coming down from the federal government on that as time goes on. So we're just projecting out there to those who might want to cite us for not having something that we've at least looked for funding on this, and we're making a play for it. Can I answer any questions specifically on anything?
Thank you for all the hard work that goes behind figuring out what needs to go in what order and what year we need to bang.
Yeah. It's a long, drawn-out process, and like I said, as the time goes on, we're going to have to look at doing things probably more and more ourselves in conjunction with our locals. So.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. Motion's been made and seconded, so
all those in favor of approving Petersburg's fiscal year 2017 capital improvement project or CIP list, say aye.
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 Motion passes 4-0. Next, we have a teacher effectiveness framework. We have a motion on this one. I'll make a motion to adopt the teacher's effectiveness framework evaluation document by School Improvement Network as presented. Could I have a second? Okay, motion's been made and seconded. Now we'll have a discussion on it. And I can read a little bit that just from our board packet that talks a little bit about the legislature passed a bill requiring districts to implement new evaluation process for teachers, principals, counselors, and librarians. Petersburg has researched the recommended models and has chosen the School Improvement Network model. Superintendent Clint Painter has been working with the state, other superintendents, staff, and the School Improvement Network personnel to create a document that would also represent Petersburg's goals and expectations. Department of Education and Early Development is requiring that the board formally adopt this evaluation tool. Superintendent Clint Painter can answer any questions, and I think she's going to tell us a little bit about it, right? Take it away.
So we have been talking about this quite a bit, actually, since 2012. I mean, because it's been on the burner, and you know, it all came about when the state adopted the new standards and all the work that's gone into that by teachers and administrators around the state and in our own district. The journey with Observation 360, PD 360, Edivation, School Improvement Network, all of that, actually started with Dr. Rob. He went to a session on this a few years ago and met with some of the people that were talking about this as being a professional development model that could also be used to house an evaluation process. And so that's pretty much what it is. And so there are lots of canned, for a better word, lack of a better word, programs out there that you can purchase. And this is one that you purchase. This one is one that you do more, we create more of this based on accepted and reviewed models that the state has said we can use. So
ours is based on the work of Charlotte Danielson, and that's one of the approved models that we can use in the district. And so we have moved forward with that, and we've worked with their staff and with our staff locally and with people at the state on how to put this together. It is going to be a ton of work, just going to say that out loud, and it's been quite a process to put the process itself together and to understand it. I think it's going to be very good. I think my biggest concern with it is teachers want feedback, so that's never been the issue. They also are happy to know what the goal is, so if we're setting out what it is that we want people to be able to do, great, and then tell us how we're doing on it, you know, is in a nutshell. I'm concerned about the time that it's going to take for teachers and for principals who are doing the work behind that with the 10 million other, you know, things that happen on a daily basis. So that's I think going to be our biggest challenge is figuring out how to make it useful and help teachers improve, but not become one more thing to weigh them down or to distract, you know, from the daily work that needs to happen with the kids. So that's what I say whenever I talk to anybody from the state. That's my biggest concern, is reality of it all. So, but that being said, our staff has been incredibly, you know, interested in how this process is going to go, and they're not afraid of, you know, moving forward with a new model at all. So that's kind of a little bit of background on it. So I'll just give you a quick little demonstration of this. You know, if you guys have any specific questions, there's so much verbiage to all of this and to the process. But, you know, in a nutshell, tenured teachers would go through the process of a formal evaluation process, setting goals. You can do that within this system itself. There are templates that we've created within the system. Teachers can log in. They can also they can store things in the system. They actually collect things themselves that show, you know, the idea is supposed to be that teachers are working to improve their own practice too. So it's not just about somebody watching them. It's about them setting goals for where they want to go and how they want to get there, and then, you know, how are they showing that they're making that progress for themselves, because ultimately that should be the goal, for them to improve their own practice. So there's templates within that teachers would work with, and the tool itself has been adapted and modified to meet the Alaska specific standards and the cultural standards for Alaska. So that's the work that I've been doing this summer, trying to make that all fit, and then we had to send it all to the state, and then the board needs to have an opportunity to read through it and look at it and actually approve it formally as well. And so actually all of the staff has not actually seen this whole process, because this is a lot of this work has been done this summer. Hopefully they'll trust that I'm not leading them down the wrong path. So the work is based on the basic premise is four dimensions, and these are not rocket science in the sense that this is what a lot of models out there are based on, this kind of idea where there's these dimensions, and basically you have a planning dimension, you have a learning dimension, you have an instructional practice, and then you have kind of a professional learning leadership component. And the ones that are the most observable, I guess, would be in the instructional practice and then within the learning community. So that's the work that you would need the administrator to be helping with. But you would also, again, the teachers would be doing a lot of their own goal setting and work within that. So here, for example, this is the first standard, for example. Then there's these indicators under it, and then you can see that actually they actually sort of bold-faced highlighted how these link with the Alaska content standards specifically, and then with the cultural standards as well. So it's pretty simple system in the sense that if I were in doing an observation and I found a teacher to exhibit these standards, these observable pieces of evidence, they would be approaching standard. The other thing that I do want to say out loud here, because it is a shift, and it's going to be a shift for those of us that have done observations and those of us that have been observed. People who being distinguished in this type of a system is extremely rare, in the sense that you might have one or two indicators that are really, I mean, that's like perfection. Nobody's perfect, much as some of us want to try to be perfect, but we're not. Effective is incredible, and the way they kind of describe it, like you live in effective and you sort of step into distinguished, and hopefully you don't step too much towards the other. But actually, to be honest, we're going to have new teachers that potentially are approaching a standard, and they should be if they're brand new at a job. You know, that's just life, and the idea is not a gotcha. The idea is, how do we help them see that and then help them try to grow, you know, and make improvements within that. So it's not meant to be a gotcha. And the way that this system works, you can actually go into it. They actually have a whole professional development library attached to this program. They are constantly uploading. They go out and they video and they interview actual teachers providing instruction. So there are models for people, for teachers to look at. You can actually watch like a 5 or 10 minute video of an actual lesson, and they might interview and talk with the teacher, and then you might do some actual reflective, you might do some reflection on your own as a teacher, thinking about how would I use this in my classroom, and you know. So that is a nice feature of this. That is something that most of the programs don't have, which I actually really like. I mean, as teachers and educators, we spend a lot of time looking at TeacherTube and doing all that, and I mean, we spend way too much time doing that. So this is nice because it is a little bit pared down. It's a little more manageable. You can find things. So anyway, so if you've, you know, this would be an example of one, and it would link you to it.
Students in Ms. Kate Heumann's engineering design class at the American International School of Utah are working in pairs to build models of a working prosthetic arm.
So the origin really came from wanting to give students an open-ended design project that allowed for them to really see the...
Anyway, they're short. They're like, usually most of them are 6 to 10 minutes is where they generally range. They tie it back to a standard. They are very specific about why they're providing the instruction they are and how they set it up and how it worked for their students. And they talk with students, you know, within the interviews and that sort of thing, too. So, by the way, we have a student who's designing a prosthetic arm here in Petersburg. Just so everyone knows, it's pretty awesome. For real. Okay. So that's it.
That's pretty thorough.
Okay. It's a lot of information. So for all my teachers out there who are listening and are starting to panic, just don't panic. We are going to be fabulous. It's going to be great. We have no teachers who are in trouble, so we're all going to do just wonderfully. We're not going to panic about it. And the state assures me they're not going to shut us down if we don't have it all exactly sorted out, so, you know.
Who comes and does the observing? Is that you, or is that somebody independent, or is that who comes and observes the
principals?
Teacher? Principals do, okay.
Yes, and that's what I mean. That's one person. And the amount of work you can see, walkthroughs, formal observations, meetings, reflective, I mean,
it's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work.
You can have one principal that just did that.
And actually a lot of districts do that. They'll have assistant principal.
Thanks.
That's a little bit of a concern. That's my concern. Because everybody believes in the work. That's not it.
Mm-hmm.
The teachers do, the principals do, I do, we all do believe in it. It's a lot of time.
Mm-hmm.
To do it well, you know, so we like to do things well here. So anyway, but we're going to bite off manageable pieces of it. We are not tackling all 24 indicators and all of the, and we don't have to.
We're moving along the correct timeline.
We are taking pieces that are manageable for us, and the state has said that is fine. The one other piece that I will say too, that was changed actually officially this summer. There's been a lot of discussion and debate about utilizing student academic achievement scores to factor into the teacher's evaluation.
when they first set out the guidelines and the regs, they said this year it would be 25% of their, then it was going 20, 35, and 50.
Wow.
So 20% this year, 35% next year, and 50% the year after. I cannot get started on that publicly, but anyway, they have taken that back, and what they have said is it's not going to be part of the requirement this year, but the districts will figure out how to incorporate the use of student data in evaluation in the district. So they have changed that. We still have to write a plan for it, and it has to be approved and all of that, but they have changed, because there's so much research out there. I mean, I could talk for hours about it. That'll be another time.
And for the public that's listening, this is a state requirement of attaching teacher
at this point, it is. And see, because that's the other
to
big
teachers
news, is the No Child Left Behind Act is being reauthorized. And they have not ironed out all the details of that yet. But they are pulling back some of those requirements, the adequate yearly progress data that we've had to report that's caused a lot of issues. There's all kinds of, they have pulled back some of those requirements and left some of those things in the hands of the state. So that's why I think when I say chunks that we're going to bite off that are manageable, that's why, because we're not going to spend 9 million hours doing something that may end up
disappearing or scaled back.
Or being completely scaled back, So we're just going to take it logically and slowly and manageably.
Okay.
So there's that.
Well, thank you for all the work that has gone in there, and with you as well as the other staff members that were involved in getting this where it's at now. So, okay, a motion's been made and seconded to adopt the Teacher Effectiveness Framework Evaluation Document by School Improvement Network as presented. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes 4-0. Moving on to the sale and disposal of books, equipment, and supplies. The elementary librarian has recommended that the listed books that are no longer usable, obsolete, or no longer needed by the district be donated to the Friends of the Library used book sale. Dan Tate also recommends miscellaneous items be disposed as well, and this is in accordance with BP 3270, sale and disposal of books, equipment, supplies, personal property. I have a motion to approve.
I can make a motion to approve the disposal of elementary library books and miscellaneous furniture as listed.
I have a second.
Second.
Okay. Motion's been made and seconded. And for the listening public, we do have an extensive list that was provided by Ms. Anderson. And if they're interested in them, they can go to the Friends of the Library maybe and purchase them. And then I think the miscellaneous items that Dan, I don't know if you even need to talk about it. I can't imagine anybody's going to be fixed. But go ahead.
We'll likely have just a silent auction or something like that. We have worked out the details. Superintendent KP's been gone for a little bit, but we'll come up with something pretty quick before school starts.
Okay. Okay, so we'll...
What is the equipment?
We have three sewing machine tables without sewing machines. Two computer desks, so these are a two-tiered kind of a thing with keyboard storage. Four folding tables of 6-foot length. We have 10 chairs listed here, but they keep coming out of the woodwork. We're probably up to 16 to 18 by now. And then there's still a question on 4 cheerleading practice mats. We've heard that they should go away. We're waiting for the final call from the gymnastics coach. I'm sorry, the cheerleading coach. Excuse me.
So maybe buy, sell, trade or something. We'll talk about a plan.
We'll get it out there to the public and everyone will have a chance to do something with it.
Okay, thank you. Okay, motion's been made and seconded to dispose of elementary library books as well as some miscellaneous property. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes 4-0. Next, we have resignation acceptance. The board recognizes the resignation of Wendy Westry, instructional assistant, and Sharon Anderson, superintendent board administrative assistant, effective January 29th, 2016, and has been accepted by the superintendent on behalf of the board. per Board Policy 4117.2. I understand Wendy Westry resigned effective the school beginning of the school year, but Sharon will be with us at least until the end of January.
Grudgingly accepted.
Yes.
I thought we would be able to vote and we could say nay, but I see you didn't put that on there even as an option just for fun.
Next, we have the Association of Alaska School Boards has emailed information to the board with members, to board members with AASB's core resolutions and requesting additional local resolutions for AASB consideration at the November annual conference in Anchorage. And I believe we've only done one in the past or two, maybe. They have quite a few that just keep getting renewed each year. I didn't know if any board members had any strong feelings on wanting to work on a resolution, if there's a topic that you don't feel has been addressed at that level.
Did you want to address your question, Megan? You had at one point talked a little bit about the 10%.
Oh, we were talking about that today. I didn't get a chance to look it up, but Sarah was thinking that there is already a resolution.
Okay, I couldn't remember either. Karen mentioned it to me, and it was brought up at the superintendent's meeting. I mean, everybody's talking about that need to repeal that.
Yeah.
The 10% cap, but I don't know if it's...
We can check that out, or I can, even tomorrow, I can have a look at the list again and see if that one is already on there. But, yeah, that was something that we talked about, or Sarah brought up.
So maybe you didn't, because I didn't get to stay for resolutions.
No, at the fly-in in Juneau. You brought it up.
So maybe it isn't.
And I'm trying to remember because I was at the resolution meeting, but I was so overwhelmed with new information. I haven't seen it.
Maybe it was something we need to look at then. I think it would be good. And I don't think it needs to be anything too wordy.
No.
Yeah.
Repeal it.
Yeah. I think that would be.
Okay.
So how do we do that? There's probably instructions on that.
We have to pass it at the September meeting. Mm-hmm. The deadline was...
September something.
25th.
Oh, so that would be enough time.
Mm-hmm. Perfect.
Okay. So I'll look and see if there's anything remotely close to it. If not, then we'll work on a language and then...
I have a couple copies printed out.
We can look at it.
Take it.
Sure. And then work on language.
I think you better tell people what you're talking about.
Good idea. Currently, the state of Alaska requires, maybe I'll pass it off, is it 10%?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Of expenditures, anything over that. You can only carry 10% in your basically savings account of 10%, for lack of a better description. And so it limits us on being able to, if we happen to be thrifty one year or have, like this last winter, we had a nice mild winter, of holding on to more of those fundings in case we have a hard winter the next year with a lot of cold weather where, you know, utilities would be through the roof. They don't want you to hold on to more than 10% of your budget amount. So this would be increasing it or even eliminating it. Years ago, it was put in to keep districts from holding on to money when the state had more money than it knew what to do with. And so they put this in. And so it hasn't, I don't think it's been considered or addressed for decades now, but it would be in this particular climate, it would be nice not to have to, you know, to be able to basically build up a bigger savings account. Mm-hmm. And right now we're limited to that. So that would be something to either increase it to 15 or 20% or not, or remove the cap altogether.
I'm in favor of removing it
altogether.
I think the other thing that came up, if I could speak to that, is at the superintendent meeting in the spring when they talked about this too, and again this summer. Part of the issue, too, is not just the issue of, you know, but it's the time and the finagling sort of that goes into maintaining that 10%. Mm-hmm. And I think that's maybe what Karen's saying. If it's 15, you still got to make sure you're within the 15 or within the 20. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So there's all this time that goes into the figures and the process of it, and that was kind of what came out of some of that discussion. That's a similar discussion to the 70-30, you know, having to show that you're spending 70% of your budget on
students.
That takes, if we do it, and we make it always here, but
for some districts in the West where they're
exactly, they
there's no
have
way.
Huge, you know, there's all these different things that factor in that we don't deal with, and they spend all this inordinate amount of time trying to make that 70-30, and if they don't, then they have to apply for a waiver, And, you know, so there's all this time that goes into it that just could... seems sort of
payroll
yeah.
time.
I hadn't thought about that. And for when, one of the things that came up when we discussed it in Juneau was that, you know, a lot of districts, the 10% thing is a non-issue. They're not they're not carrying that much over anyway. But if they still have to take the time to calculate it and report it somehow, then it's still kind of wasteful in terms of time. So
human time.
Or if they had just one good year that's 12%. Oh, well, why, let me keep that 2%.
Right. Yeah, yeah, because maybe they're never going to get back there again. It sure would be nice to have that in reserves if it was possible.
And just on top of that, that in that 70, 30%, maintenance is in that. It's not, it's in that non-excluded part. So their utilities are going up, fuel is going up, and the maintenance budgets are going up, which is bringing that 70% for some districts down lower. And so I think, you know, there's it's just a flat number. There's no room for inflation. It's not taking into consideration the fact that our budgets are, in theory, decreasing. Our utilities are increasing. So...
Yeah, I think a good argument, too, with the state would be is you're not going to be able to help us to maintain those buildings at this point. And so... you're asking us to do more or the same with less and less, and our buildings are continuing. You know, there's only so much deferred maintenance you can deal with budget. Yeah. So all those are good reasons. So I think that, yeah, we should look into that in case any other district doesn't do it.
Yeah. Okay, good idea.
I'll work on that then, and I might draft one of you to help me. Okay, moving on to the back-to-school luncheon, which we, I guess, discussed a little bit earlier. On for the, to look back at my notes, 28th at noon. So, and I'll send out a few, I'll email all the board members and we'll figure out what we're, if we want to stick to the same menu or not. So, which in the past has been lasagna and salads, if you guys remember from last year.
Do the staff like that? Is that like,
we are thrilled with whatever you provide for us. We are very, very food happy. We are very grateful.
Okay. Okay. And next, we had talked a little bit about getting this back working with since in the spring we were pressed for time, but in an effort to get the district's policies updated and current, the board wants to schedule a work session to discuss a policy on memorials. Should we look at September, maybe the third or fourth week in September? You guys would, we could kind of by then maybe go through some of the, we may have been able to hear from some of the public if they have any opinions about it.
I'm gone at meetings the 23rd to the 28th or something, is that right? That's
what about the third week? The week of the 14th?
That would probably work. Good. That's the 15th, like 14th, 15th, 16th, 17th. It would be after the September board meeting, the week after. Would a Tuesday night still work for people? Maybe the 15th? Evening? After work? Does that work?
I think that sounds
okay. And then that way, if anybody wants to come to the work session and from the public wants to come to that work session, it would be after business hours so they could come as well. So let's make it maybe 7. Let's plan 7 to 8. Stick to an hour. And
you'll have it in
the
high school
library? Yeah. Okay, so we'll do it from 7 to 8. And
I'll reserve that.
Okay.
Thank you. That's the 15th?
Yes.
Okay. And so we're moving on to 13.8, school board seat vacancies on the borough ballot. There are 3 school board seats on the ballot this fall, and the last day of filing is August 25th. I don't know how Cheryl and Jay are feeling, if they're going to run again. If you feel like you can let us know today or not.
We hope so.
What about you, Jay?
If somebody else wants to, they're sit down, but if not, I probably will.
Okay.
Good.
Cheryl, how are you feeling?
I'm
still. Wow. I have to bake a few things. And if anybody else who's listening is out there interested, we happily welcome people to file and run to the school board. Okay, 13.9. Is there an addendum? The Alaska Retirement Management Board set the actuarially determined rates for PERS at 44.03 and TERS at 70.75 for fiscal year 2015. Petersburg School District budgeted for the PERS and TERS on behalf for fiscal year 2015 based on these rates. However, SB 119 provided more funding than statutorily required in TERS on behalf rates at 267.85 and PERS on behalf rates at 42.41%. This revision is for our financial reports so that our budget revenue and expenditures are accurately reported with these on behalf adjustments. I'll make a motion to approve the fiscal year 2015 budget revision incorporating the additional state PERS and TERS on behalf amounts. And can I have a second?
A second.
The motion's been made and seconded. And Karen, I'd like to fill us in.
Sure.
Thank you.
So this is where, you know, not everybody's perfect and oversights do happen. So we were basing our budget on the actual, I can't say the word either, on the Alaska Retirement Management Board set rates. And then Senate Bill 119 came into play, and they moved $2 billion into the teacher's retirement system and $1 billion into the PERS retirement system. So this was came to my attention when I was working on a schedule for the auditors, and my numbers weren't working out. And I looked back through my emails to see if there was something that was sent by the department, and there was nothing sent by the Department of Education. So I should have caught it, but I also feel like there should have been some communication from the Department of Ed that these on-behalf rates were going up. So this is a budget revision really for our financials, just so that our actuals and our budgeted amount is not off by $6 million. It is not any cash flow coming into or going out of the school district. It is really just a financial reporting requirement. So, and the reason why our expenditures on the on-behalfs is higher is because we actually have to report all of our special revenue funds, our grants, and the on-behalfs in our expense portion of our budget. So, I guess do you guys have questions? Well, we're at 82% with this. We're okay with this, yep. And because it increases our expenditure budget, we could carry more forward in our ending fund balance. So. Because. So this increase puts our budget from, you know, a $10 million budget, which is an actual cash flow in, cash flow out, with the on-behalfs. I mean, there's a portion of that in there, to a $17 million budget. And then next year, the on-behalf rates go down exponentially. I think there's 6.71 and 8-point-something. I don't know the exact numbers. I don't have them memorized. But our budget for next year, or for this year, fiscal 16, is $8 million. So even if we can carry a larger fund balance with that 10%, we wouldn't be able to carry more than $800,000 at the end of fiscal 16. And that's why I would love to see it change, especially if we're dealing with a financial crisis in the state. It'd be nice to have a little bit of wiggle room with that fund balance, rather than being kind of penalized for being fiscally responsible. So, anyways, I apologize to the board for the oversight and to the public. And again, it's just really for our financial reporting. So.
Okay, motions
are
made
and
seconded. to approve the 2015 budget revision for the PERS and TERS. Roll call. Yeah.
Joel
Lyle? Oh, sorry, yes.
Jay Lister?
Yes.
Sarah Lundgren?
Yes.
Megan Lister?
Yes. The motion passes 4-0. Okay. Any additional comments from board members?
We have talked on and off about work sessions.
Establishing set ones?
Mm-hmm. Since we're revving up for the school year, I just thought I would throw it out there for as something for us to continue thinking about. Mm-hmm. And maybe...
Will you have a work session scheduled in September?
We do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for the memorials.
For the memorials.
And so we could decide...
Yeah,
we can put anything else on the agenda. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just let me know.
And okay. Maybe at that time would be a good time just to talk about future mm-hmm. work sessions. So we could add that to that mm-hmm. particular agenda.
To pick the next one and maybe the topic.
Mm-hmm.
Or the agenda. And then we have Timmy Tullis coming on the 7th of October for board training. Mm-hmm. So that would be a
work session. Count as a work session. Mm-hmm. Do that
and then November makes sense after we are up north to... talk about whatever.
School board stuff.
Yeah. All those things that we learned. So, there we have 3 months right there.
Okay. And I think the future agenda item we go back and look. Oh, it would be the
resolution.
Yeah. Okay.
There's policies. I'd like to see about doing a drug policy.
Okay. Do you want to include that for the work session?
Sure.
To start talking about that one too then?
Sure.
Okay.
Because it won't happen this year, right? So.
But if we start now, it gives us plenty of time to be prepared for next year.
Absolutely.
Yeah, good idea.
And they still think that we can.
Okay. If there's no other that people can think of at this moment, I'll have to entertain a motion to adjourn.
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Good motion. Okay. Motion's been made and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes 4-0. Thank you and good night.
And there it is, ladies and gentlemen, another school board meeting wrapped up and in the books. The time now is 8:30 on the money. You've been listening to the school board meeting, Petersburg School Board meeting, live from the Borough Assembly Chambers. Thanks for listening.